So what I'm going to do at the end of my book I'm writing, which I'll be too soon hopefully, is present an actual compact plan that I believe the majority of the people will get behind. And then I'm going to actively work at promoting this before the general public. I'm going to create an actual organization to promote this plan, this one plan. It has to be simple. We can't do everything at once, but basically I'm going to put together a plan to help improve the economy, to do take certain steps to help to balance the budget and have the government operate like we have to with our own families, so that we have a projected amount that we're going to spend and we take in, and we will spend that amount and we'll eliminate the things that we cannot afford and try to spend money on the assets. Put together a plan like this, and then we're going to sell it. The first step in selling it will be publishing this book, Fixing America. And like I say, at the end of the book, I'm going to present a plan to be presented to the public as a whole. And then, I think a lot of people will get behind it. When volunteers and come out of the woodwork, then we will begin organizing them. And part of my plan is to go to start here in Boise, and I'll give some lectures, and then I'll give lectures in surrounding areas. And if it takes off, then I'll really concentrate on it. I've had ideas before and they didn't really take off the way they expected, but I think that this has a good chance of getting a lot of attention because people are looking for a solution and there is none. I mean, nobody's got, I mean, none of the politicians say they got a solution. They say, well, we got, they don't really have a solution, any of them, but they're against what the other guy's doing pretty much. But nobody really has a solution to get out of this boondoggle we're in. We've got in such a boondoggle over the past 100 years that it makes our financial it's put our financial system in extreme peril. We're in peril. We're in danger of going in a depression, even worse than the last one, if we don't do something to get out of it. And I think I don't know how long we have, 2 to 4 years perhaps to. Before we get in some serious danger. But anyway, that's basically it in a nutshell. But the key to manipulating, to getting the will of the public accomplished, is through manipulating public opinion. So how do we do that? Say I give a few lectures and get some good response and think, well, I got some people interested. Well, then you organize the people together and get them to donate. Then when they donate, then you put things, pieces of it, on the air. Now, one of my ideas was to create kind of a burned-out, druggy-type character, like somebody is really burnt out by smoking too much pot and taking too many drugs. And he's got this intelligent brother. My idea was to present this over and over and over in small commercials that we'd place all kinds of different places on the air. Because one of the things that bugs people more than anything else is to be portrayed as being stupid. Because people don't want to be seen as being stupid. They want to be seen as the cool one. And being seen as being stupid is something that very few people want, except maybe a handful of those interviewed by Jay Leno. They don't seem to be too ashamed of it down in Los Angeles area. It's amazing the answers those guys give. I don't know if they realize that they are stupid. But anyway, the average person anyway does not want to be seen as being substandard mentally. So anyway, we got this substandard guy. He's just really burnt out by smoking too much dope, but he's got this smart brother. And the smart brother will say something to him like, oh man, Congress needs to balance the budget. You know, well, we need to balance the budget for, you know, because I wouldn't be able to get my check every week or whatever, you know. So the dumb burnout guy, he gives really dumb answers, but the dumb answers he gives is what Congress is basically doing, you know. And so we project Congress on this really burnout dumb guy. And then the smart brother is the guy that speaks common sense to him, and he speaks some common sense. And then when the brother teaches him something, even the burnout, dumb, pot-smoking guy at the end of the commercial says, yeah, I guess that does make sense. You know. And so at the end of every commercial, the burnout druggie comes to the conclusion, well, he can't really argue with the smart brother because, you know, from simple things like balancing the budget, or that's the big one right now is handling finances. But whatever the case may be, the common sense prevails over the druggie at the end. So he says, yeah, you know, that might be a good idea, you know. So my idea was to present by repetition over and over and over the fact that if you're hip and smart like the smart brother, you know, or even if you're as dumb as the druggie, a light can be turned on and you can see that this angle makes some sense. If we can create an organization that funnels some money into it, then we can actually begin to mold public opinion through small commercials on all kinds of stations. Now, some stations may not play it, but there's always some that would. So eventually you can reach everybody.
YouTube.
Yeah. I was just going to say, YouTube is the way to go because there are very few people that watch television and watch regular commercials. Yeah. Most people
fast forward through them.
Are TiVoing, DVRing their shows, or they're going onto the internet and watching the shows directly.
Yeah.
And so the big advertisers are now advertising on the web TV, not on the regular TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hulu and Fancast.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's Hulu, there's Fancast, there's Twitter type things where you could, you know, have a Twitter following. There's YouTube, there's, you know, Facebook, MySpace. Those are the ways that people are advertising now. They are not advertising necessarily through television.
So you're talking about...
Yeah, we'll advertise where the money is best spent, wherever that is. But, you know, you're not to minimize TV advertising. Like those ads about the two babies, what's that ad? About the little black baby and the white baby.
Yeah, those are cute.
How many people have seen those ads?
Yeah. I saw them
still
on YouTube.
Really? Those ads are everywhere. Yeah.
Think of the Macintosh ads. You have the hip guy.
Yeah.
And you have the...
Yeah, like that. That's kind of the idea that I was thinking in that direction. And those have worked really good for Mac. Mac has really increased... What's that?
YouTube does not cost you money.
If you put a commercial on a show that's, you know, everybody watches, it's going to cost you a lot of money, but you can be world famous overnight on YouTube if you have a good enough commercial.
Yeah, you can be world famous after being with Oprah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the first money to be spent when we create this is money creating good ads, good quality ads.
Well, yeah,
because it has to be catchy to catch on YouTube. You can put stuff on there that nobody watches, or you can luck out and, you know, get a big hit. Yeah.
Have you ever seen those like billboards and it like kind of leads you with no message, but it's like a billboard of, you know, something, and you're like, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah.
And then the billboard comes down and puts in the secondary message that was like the missing message that you're like, what does that mean? And then you're like, you drive by it a few weeks later and like the ending of the message is there.
Yeah.
That always kind of intrigues me because I'm like, what am I missing? I don't understand that. And it's usually the stuff I don't understand. I'm going, what? Huh? Mm-hmm. You know? Keep looking at it. Huh? That makes you kind of like...
Yeah, some of these ads that you see, you wonder, now who is running this ad? You know, you don't even...
Or you don't know even.
Like the one with the baby, I don't even remember who ran that ad. Great ad, but I don't remember the company.
Yeah,
E-Trade. Oh, yeah, E-Trade. Yeah.
But Geico...
Yeah, Geico. Everybody's seen the Geico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we need. James in a Geico suit.
Yeah, but Larry made a good point. What I'm thinking of projecting with this is like the Macintosh ads, where you have the cool guy and the uncool guy, you know. And kind of in the Macintosh ads, it does have a little bit the same effect. The uncool guy kind of realizes the Mac is better, but he won't admit it. But in that, I got I'm thinking of the dense guy realizes the brother makes sense, and he does admit it at the end, you know. Yeah, that'd be a good one. That'd be a good one to make an ad out of if you really wanted to show how common sense does not prevail right now.
You just get some white tooth paint.
Yeah.
So somebody have brilliant white teeth, and they could do that Joe Biden smile.
Yeah. Okay, got about 20 minutes, it looks like. Not enough time to go into the main topic of desire. We'll do that afterwards.
I kept thinking, is this desire?
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't follow a strict script here.
It'd be nice if you told me.
I'm always the last to know.
Well, the rest of us should go.